If you'd like to talk to Bobby, it's 1-800-878-7529. Bobby, before we take some calls for you, how did you end up in the ABA instead of the NBA? What was the thought process there?
Well, generally, the main thing was that Larry Brown, a Carolina guy, was coaching with the Nuggets, and I felt like I had an opportunity to get more playing time early rather than sit and watch the NBA guys with Houston. So I really just opted just for playing time, basically.
Those early years in the ABA were something special, I think. I don't know. Have you had a chance to watch the special on HBO about the ABA?
No, I haven't seen it. I have some friends who've told me that it's very interesting. That was a very interesting time, and those are 2 years that I'll never forget.
What was the personality of that league?
Well, it was just a kind of a wild and woolly kind of run-and-gun situation. You know, I think people just never really understood the talent that was in that league at the end of that league. The ABA took great lengths to sign some guys that really, you know, as they went into the NBA, just had outstanding careers. And it was, especially at the forward position, the challenge every night was there defensively.
When you say memorable, in what way do you mean that?
Oh, just I guess the camaraderie of the league. You know, we went from 12 teams to 10 to 8 teams at the very end, and there became a closeness of, you know, we're doing this thing together kind of a thing. And then as we went into the NBA, you know, you really kind of drifted toward, you know, the old ABA guys, and there was a kind of a closer unity as far as the guys that you played with and against during those I guess tougher times without the TV contract and the all night flights to get to a city.
One of the things that I observed is that I always sensed there was an us-against-them situation in the days in which the ABA existed. In other words, yeah, maybe you got drafted by the NBA, but they really don't give us any respect over there. Let us show them. Am I correct in that?
I think you're correct in that, and I think especially that first year when the four teams came over, you know, I think the Nuggets, we really felt a personal mission to show that we belonged in the NBA, and winning our division really helped that year. And I think that All-Star game with Julius being the leading vote getter, and I think probably over at least half of the players who were at that All-Star game being from the ABA really, I think, justified the league's position in the past.
One of the observations I also had is that I think without the ABA and the influence of that wide-open type of basketball, kind of just flying down the court, the up-tempo type of game, I don't think that the NBA game would be as good as it is today, because I think that's one of the major influences in professional basketball is the way you guys played it.
Oh, I agree. You know, the three-point shot was in the ABA, and they kept some stats that weren't even kept in the NBA, the steals and some other things. And I agree with you. I think as I look at it now, I think there was a lot of talent when the merger took place, a lot of talent came into the NBA. And I think it's a little bit diluted now with expansion and some of the other things. But I think if you look back at that point, 76, 77, 78, those years when the leagues merged, there were some teams that had equal chance of winning the NBA title.
1-800-878-7529. All Star Bobby Jones has joined us and you, Keith. You're in Kansas City. We got you on Sports Byline.
Hey, it's a pleasure talking with you, Mr. Jones. I think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, thank you, Keith. That's very kind of you. Appreciate that.
I think what would be your most devastating playoff loss? Would it have been the 82 Eastern Conference Final, the 85 Eastern Conference, or you weren't on the team in 85, but yeah. Or any loss you had when you still were with Denver, or maybe the 80 or 82 championship? Because I want to commend you for the 83 championship, but I do know that you guys lost a lot of big games.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I look back, the two that stand out in my mind was in 70, I believe it was 77, 78, we lost to Portland in the Western Conference Finals when I was with Denver. And that was a chance really to get to the NBA Finals that never came to happen. They had a great team, but we really had a pretty good team too. And I think then the next one I would consider would be 84, the year after we won the championship, basically the same team. And we lost in the first round to the Nets. And, you know, I think as we go into that series, we probably had a kind of a mental attitude of, well, we'll coast by this first round, and we're the world champions. And it really was a situation where, you know, nobody's going to hand you anything in the NBA, and we certainly weren't given any kind of series win against New Jersey, and we lost in the first round of them. So that was very disappointing to me.
1-800-878-7529. Rudy, you're up next with Bobby.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, is he on?
Yes, he is.
Oh, God, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I think you're an absolute outstanding player, and it's refreshing to talk to a player that remembers how the game used to be played. I have a real problem with the NBA right now. And with the Bulls in particular, especially after I saw Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I haven't.
But it basically is saying that the Bulls are the greatest team of all time. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on it.
I would question that probably. I think probably Jordan, I'd have to say, is probably the greatest player of all time. But, you know, as far as teams go, there have been some great teams over the last 40 years, 50 years. And I just, you know, I don't think anybody who really can, you know, who's not 70 or 80 years old could really make that evaluation.
That's the way I see it. I think after you talk Jordan and Pippen and Rodman, I think that if you look at if you were to compare them to other teams in the past, such as your 76ers and my favorite team, the Lakers of the 80s, the sheer matchup, I don't know how the Bulls would match up to them.
Yeah, and depth-wise, I really don't see much depth. What has amazed me about that team is the lack of injuries that these guys have suffered. They've been around for a long time. You know, there were some teams in the past that had a whole lot more depth than they did.
Well, just one more question, Bob. I'm a big Magic Johnson fan, as a lot of people are, as you can tell. But what was the greatest thing when you played against him? What was the thing that just amazed you?
Well, I enjoy playing against Magic. Magic was one of those guys that, you know, anytime you play the Lakers, that team was, you had to be geared up, ready to play 100%, or you're gonna get killed. But Magic had a great attitude on the court. He played very hard, but he could take things, he could laugh things off, but he could get mad too. And it was, I think, just his humanness that I really appreciated as a player. Remember one situation we were playing, and on a fast break situation, he comes down. I try to cut him off the baseline, and they call a charge on him. And it could have gone either way. It may have been a block. I don't really know. But he yells at the officials. He says, "Don't give me the foul just because he's got no breaks." You know, and that's pretty much basically what it was. I mean, I couldn't stop it. I got in his way, and you know, they called a foul. And but he was always that way, just kind of loose and easy going.
Monty, Pittsburgh. Go ahead. You're on with Bobby.
All right. Bobby, you're one of my all-time favorites, and it's great to get to talk to you. I had a question for you. You brought up talking about playing for Larry Brown. Is there any chance of a Bobby Jones comeback?
I don't believe so. I'm coaching high school ball here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I don't think you'll be seeing me out on the hardwood doing that. I play with the high school kids, and I'm happy doing that.
Okay, and one last question. Any advice for an aspiring young coach?
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, just study as much as you can. Try to relate to the players and get players who want to, you know, try to get them to play for you, not force them to play for you.
Okay, thanks a lot. And once again, yeah, you're one of my all-time favorites.
Thanks very much.
Nice to know that you are working with kids at the high school level. And earlier this evening, we were talking about Tracy McGrady, the youngster out of Durham, North Carolina, and the deal that he'd gotten with Adidas. And I'm just wondering, do people understand, do kids today, in your mind, Bobby, understand the hard work, the determination, the things that you had to do to make it to become a pro? As compared to what they see today, I mean, do they only see the end result instead of realizing the tough road that it takes to get there?
No, I think kids don't see a lot of that. They don't understand the effort that and really the sacrifice that you have, you know, the nights that you're in the gym or you're doing things in the weight room or running or whatever it might be to develop what skills you think you have in your life, in your body. And I think, you know, situations like Tracy, you know, he may turn out to be a great player, but, you know, that situation ignites the fire. And so many other kids who say, well, I'm just as good as he is, or I can do this. And then they put everything else in their lives on the back burner. And it's kind of tough when, you know, there's not that many slots in the NBA. And it's tough for a lot of these kids to accept the fact that they're not quite at that level.
The other thing is that I sense where we're doing a disservice to kids in the sense that we're telling them all you have to do is play the game. And it doesn't matter whether you've proven yourself, you still can come up with millions of dollars. And I think that is a big mistake in our society.
I agree, absolutely. It's amazing. You know, the message is if you can get enough publicity, if you can do this or that, you know, then obviously it takes away from the attitude of, well, let me help my team win, or let me learn how to play defense, or let me learn how to set a screen. You know, I got to get the ball in my hand, and I got to do something with it that's going to catch somebody's eye. And that's just, you know, opposite of what basketball should be about.
Bobby Jones, a very special man and a talented athlete, has joined us and you this hour on Sports Byline USA. We continue with you and Sports Byline right after this.